Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More. Today's story is, of course, a sukkah story, not only about Sukkos, the holiday, but about a sukkah. And the story goes like this. Once there was a great tzaddik. His name was Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. He was actually a close friend of the Alter Rebbe, the first Chabad Rebbe, as well as other students of the Mezuzah Magid. And in his town, in those days, it was very, very difficult to get a lulav and esrog. Not like today, where we have airplanes and we can ship things from one place to another in the world in a short amount of time. A whole transportation system. You can order lulav and esrog online and get it delivered in a day or two. In those days, in Europe, it was very, very hard, quite often, to get a lulav and esrog. The esrog does not grow in most European countries. And therefore, every year, it was a big struggle. One particular year, it was not only a big struggle, but it was seemingly impossible. The entire town of Berdichev did not have a lulav and esrog, including the Rebbe himself, Reb Levi Yitzchak. And therefore, Hasidim were posted at the roads coming into the town from different directions, looking for somebody who might have a lulav and esrog and trying to convince them that they should spend Sukkos in Berdichev so that the tzaddik, Reb Levi Yitzchak, and of course everybody else also, could fulfill the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. Sure enough, the day before Sukkos, or maybe it was even the morning before Sukkos, comes a yid walking, or maybe on a wagon, and sure enough, he had a lulav and esrog. He was apparently a successful businessman. Perhaps money was not much of a problem or no problem, and he had obtained a lulav and esrog. So Chassidim asked him, please, spend Sukkos with us so that the tzaddik, Reb Levi Yitzchak, can do the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, and all of us as well. The man said, I'm very sorry, I feel bad for you, but I have plans to go to my home, which is another couple of towns away. Please, they asked him, please at least come and speak with Reb Levi Yitzchak about the possibility. So the businessman said, okay, that much I will do. And he came to meet Reb Levi Yitzchak. Reb Levi Yitzchak said to him, if you will come and spend Sukkos with us, I will promise you, imi mechitzisasi, I promise you that you will be with me in Gan Eden. You will be within my mechitza, so to speak. You will be with me in Gan Eden. Whoa, that's quite an offer, the businessman thought. To be with Reb Levi Yitzchak in Gan Eden, that's something which is forever. Now, I assume, by the way, my comment, that his wife would also be with him. And so he had to think very deeply about this. Not to be home, that's something which is difficult for a day or two or a week. But being with Reb Levi Yitzchak in Gan Eden, that's forever. Seemingly, that's a good deal. Okay, he said, fine. I will stay here with my lulav and esrog, and as a reward, you will make sure that I will be with you in Gan Eden. Okay, that's the deal. So he settled in for Sukkos, and sure enough, there's a beautiful davening, Ma'ariv Sukkos, and he expected that he would probably be invited to Reb Levi Yitzchak's sukkah for the Suda, or if not, at least some other important person in the town. And he waited, and people finished their davening, they began to leave. And other guests seemed to be invited to different people's sukkahs. But he was very surprised to see that nobody invited him to their sukkah. Now, usually, when he was traveling on business, he didn't mind if he wasn't invited to somebody's home, because he would be in an inn someplace, and he would have food with him. But there was a big problem with that. He didn't have a sukkah with him. How is he going to eat a suda without a sukkah? He has to be invited to somebody's house. And sure enough, the last person left, and no invitation. So he's sitting in the shul by himself, wondering, what should he do? Now, quite shocking. After all, the entire town is going to benefit from him having done them a big favor to stay in this town for Sukkos so that everyone can use his lulav and esrog. By the way, you have to actually own the lulav and esrog. It says, kach lecha, take for yourself the dalad minim. So therefore, the truth is that when we give the lulav and esrog to somebody to use, we have to give it to them to own. And so the custom is to say to the person, I'm giving you this lulav and esrog to be yours on condition that you give it back to me when you finish with it, so that it will be owned by the person doing the mitzvah, but not that he will keep it afterwards. He's owning it on condition that he will give it back to the owner afterwards. And this is actually something which is helpful both for the original owner as well as for the person who's using it. So if you help somebody shake lulav and esrog on Sukkos, it's important to say to them that I'm giving this to you on condition that you give it back to me afterwards. If it's a child, then you really can't do that on the first day. And actually, even on other days, it's better to not give it to the child because halachically the child doesn't have the ability to give something back. Belev shalem, with a complete heart. Okay, in any case, let's get back to the story. And so he didn't know what to do. How is he going to eat a suda? He can't fast on a Yom Tov, but he can't eat without a sukkah. So he did what anybody would do, which is he began to knock on the doors of sukkahs. But to his surprise, he knocked on the first door. And he said, it's me, Yankel, the guest, the businessman that brought my lulav and esrog that everybody can use it on sukkahs. But I don't have a sukkah to eat in. Can I come in to eat in your sukkah? So the owner of the sukkah said, no, I'm sorry. I cannot invite you into my sukkah. Didn't give a reason. Very unusual. Yidden, they're all one family. Okay? So he goes to the next sukkah. Same thing. Sorry, I can't invite you in. Next sukkah. Sorry, I can't invite you in. After a while, he felt there's something wrong over here. Yidden always invite each other to eat in their sukkah, to eat in their home. What is this that nobody's inviting me? So the next sukkah, he actually asked, why aren't you inviting me? Why is nobody inviting me? I'm the person with the lulav and esrog helping the whole town. Why is nobody inviting me? So the owner of this sukkah said, perhaps you should go to speak to Reb Levi Yitzchak. So he did. And sure enough, when he came to Reb Levi Yitzchak's house, knocked on the door of the sukkah, and said, Rabbi, can I please come in to eat in your sukkah? Reb Levi Yitzchak said, no. And so he said, why not? Everybody doesn't let me into their sukkah. What's going on? Okay, Reb Levi Yitzchak said, come in. I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll make you a deal. If you give back to me the portion in Gan Eden, which I promised you, then I will let you eat in my sukkah. Very surprising, the businessman thought. We have to have a business deal before he invites me in. Let's see now. Before he promised me that I would be with him in Gan Eden if I would stay here with my lulav and esrog. Now he's saying, but the only way for me to eat in the sukkah is if I give back that portion. That means I'll lose that great deal. Is it worth it? He's thinking, but I have to eat in the sukkah. But it's only going to be one meal or 1 week of meals. That's a short time. If I keep the portion of Gan Eden, that's forever. To eat in a sukkah is just for a little while, a few days, a week. But on the other hand, I'm a yid. I have to eat in a sukkah. I have to do the mitzvah. Okay, he says, you got a deal. Let me into your sukkah. You can have back your portion of Gan Eden. Just, I'm a yid, I have to eat him in the sukkah. Reb Levi Yitzchak smiled at him and he said, okay, in that case, you have both. You can eat in the sukkah and you could be with me in Gan Eden as well. And Reb Levi Yitzchak explained, you see, when you first agreed to stay with us here and let us use a lulav and esrog, you only really had one thing in mind, the reward. That was it. You were not doing it for the mitzvah. You were doing it just for the reward. But I wanted you to be able to appreciate the mitzvah, not only the mitzvah of helping us shake lulav and esrog, but also the mitzvah of sukkah, that you should appreciate not just the reward of mitzvahs, but the mitzvah itself. And indeed, you do appreciate it. Now you were willing to give away the reward in order to do the mitzvah, to be able to eat in the sukkah. And that's why now you'll be able to have both. You'll be able to have the mitzvah of eating the sukkah. You'll also have the reward of being with me in Gan Eden, which is, of course, forever. Now, this story teaches us, of course, many lessons, like every good Torah story. But it certainly shows us that, yes, there is, of course, a reward for mitzvahs, no question about it. Hashem rewards us. But there's also a value in the mitzvah itself, that the mitzvah itself is actually the biggest reward. To be doing what Hashem told us to do, to connect with Hashem, to become one with Hashem, this is actually the biggest reward for mitzvahs. Now I'd like to share with you for a minute or two a little bit from the halachas of Mashiach in the Rambam. And here we are up to the last parak, and we're up to halacha gimel, third halacha. And the Rambam tells us that in the time of Mashiach, the most of Mashiach, in the days of Mashiach, when Mashiach will have already established the kingdom of Mashiach, and all of the Jewish people will have gathered around him, that means we'll all be living in Eretz Yisrael, Mashiach will be reigning as king of the Jewish people, Mashiach will determine some things that we don't know right now, which means if a certain person says they're a Kohen, but they don't have proof, how do we know? Is he really a Kohen or not? And it's very important because work that a Kohen does in the Beis HaMikdash can only be done by a Kohen. And if it's done by somebody who's not a Kohen, there's very severe consequences. At the same time, if a person is a Kohen and is not serving the Beis HaMikdash as a Kohen, he's losing out and he's not doing a mitzvah which he's commanded to do. So therefore, Mashiach will determine by Ruach HaKodesh, as the Rambam tells us, exactly who is actually a Kohen and who is actually a Levi. And, of course, who is actually a Yisrael. And all of this will be revealed to Mashiach through a Ruach HaKodesh. So this way, Kohen will be able to be sure that he's a Kohen and to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, eat Truma, and so forth. A Levi will be able to determine that he's really a Levi and everything that goes with that. And a regular Jew will be able to be sure that he is from a particular Shevet, a particular tribe, because each tribe is going to live in their section of Eretz Yisrael. So if a person doesn't know which Shevet they're from, Mashiach will tell us, and he'll tell us by Ruach HaKodesh. May Mashiach come immediately, establish his kingdom over the Jewish people, and clarify for us who is a Kohen, who is a Levi, who is the Yisrael, which Shevet we are from. And this will allow us to fulfill all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, including all the mitzvahs of a Karbanos, Beis HaMikdash, Yovel year, the Jubilee year, all Jewish people living in the portions of Eretz Yisrael where they should be living. And this will happen through our Torah mitzvahs. The more Torah mitzvahs we do, the quicker it will come. Learning about Mashiach and Geula. And I want to wish everybody who's listening to this story a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful, wonderful Sukkos. May we soon see all Yidden together eating in one huge sukkah made from the skin of the Leviathan, as our sages tell us. And we'll all be able to celebrate together in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, the holy city of Yerushalayim. Thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More.